Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
We're going to be in the book of Psalms as the main text today, chapter 34 of the book of Psalms. Now, you've already seen what the title of this message is going to be, so let me begin with this question. I just want you to think about this. Please don't raise your hand. Just think about this. How many here would say that you are afraid of something? Think about that for a moment. Now, I'm guessing that there will be some of you be quick to admit that you're afraid of something. But there may be others of you who would say, I'm not afraid of anything. In preparation for this sermon, I was reading an article. And it stated that there are 2,000 classified fears. Did you know that? 2,000. Now, I'm familiar with a few, and probably you are too. They're called phobias. Now, you've heard of arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, right? You've heard of claustrophobia, which is the fear of small or confined spaces. But there were other fears. I was reading the article, and some of these I had no idea. For example, there's one called amaxophobia. It's the fear of riding in a car. Yeah, it's a true classified fear. Now, I hope you don't have that fear, especially in this fast-paced society in which we live in. And then there's ballistophobia. It's a fear of bullets. Pretty legitimate fear. And then there's one that was called pantherophobia. Anyone know what that is? Pantherophobia. I actually had three guys that told me about this fear. David Hamby, Sean Sensabaugh, and Bart Matthews. They all told me about this fear. It's the fear of your mother-in-law. Yeah. I'm kidding, Judy. They didn't tell me that. But that is a legitimate fear. Then there's one called ecclesiophobia. It's the fear of church. A lot of people must have that fear. 2,000 classified fears. I would say that we live in a fear-filled world. And yet, according to scientists, we are only born with two innate fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. In other words, all the other fears that we have are learned fears. And so that means like statements when you hear, well, don't you do this or don't you do that, have embedded fear into our lives. For 47 years in this country, the number one advice column was called Dear Ann Landers. And Ann Landers, her real name was actually Epi Letterer, once said that she would get 10,000 letters a day. And she said that the most common subject that she was asked about above all else was fear. I thought that was interesting. According to the article that I read, the most common confessed fear is public speaking. Now, I can relate to that. I mean, I don't fear getting in front of people like I used to, but I still get nervous. I mean, I get nervous before I come up here on a Sunday morning. I get nervous when I'm standing in front of other people. And I share all this just to say that we are a fearful people. And as a result, we take precautions to protect ourselves. We buy insurance policies to cover those things that we consider valuable. We buy alarm systems to protect our homes and our automobiles. All because of fear. Yet listen to what God has said on this subject, and that's what we're going to do today. I love this passage. An angel was speaking to the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born and said in Luke 2, beginning of verse 10, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The message of Christmas and of every other time of the year is that if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we don't have to be afraid. A lady by the name of Ann Beck lives in North Carrollton, Mississippi. She talked about the days when she and her husband used to teach a 2 and 3 year old Sunday school class. And they said that a Bible verse that they would teach their preschoolers was a very simple verse found in Psalm 56, verse 3. And it says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." Of course, meaning God. Their preschool son, Mark, was one of their students. And one summer stormy night, lightning was flashing, thunder was booming, and all of a sudden, the electricity went out in their house. And Mark said, "I'm not afraid," as the parents were searching for candles and matches. Well, Mom was expecting him to be able to quote this verse that he had recently learned. So she asked him, "Well, Mark, tell me why you're not afraid." He said, "Because I've got my flashlight." Better to have a flashlight than trusting in the Lord. No, not really. But he had his flashlight. Well, even though fear is a part of our lives, the problem that happens is we often allow those fears to keep us from accomplishing great things for our Lord and his church. And so today I want to focus on some ways the Bible teaches us to overcome our fears. Again, the main text, Psalm chapter 34, but we're going to be looking at other passages too. But before we do, as we always do, let's ask God for his help, wisdom, and understanding as we spend these few moments in his word. Let's pray. Father, today we're talking about a subject that I would probably believe about all of us have faced at one point or another in our lives. We have a tendency to fear. We become afraid sometimes. And Lord, that's not unusual. It's certainly not abnormal in any way. And yet, Lord, help us to see today that you are one who can calm and ease our fears, no matter what it is that causes them, no matter what it is that we go through in our life. Lord, we thank you for that promise that you are always with us and you never leave us or forsake us. And we don't have to be afraid. Your word teaches us that on many occasions. Lord, today I need your help to present this message in a way pleasing to you, and I pray it will be helpful and challenging and encouraging to all who are here as we praise you, Father, and as we thank you for the fact that you will help us overcome our fears. Bless your word, give us your wisdom and understanding, and we will give you the praise in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. So here are some ways that we can overcome our fears, and the first one is this. We just need to praise the Lord at all times. King David teaches us that by praising the Lord at all times, by recognizing his eternal attributes, that we are lifted above our fears. And so in Psalm 34, he writes in the first 3 verses, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Exalt the Lord with me," that means praise, "and let us exalt his name together." Praise just simply helps us gain a new perspective. Praise of God's lordship over all aspects of life helps us see that he is greater than any fear. When we are focused on Jesus as the one who is ever present with us, and he is, as the one who constantly stands beside us, and he does, as the one who overcomes the world, and he has, then we are given this ever-increasing sense of his power, an ever-increasing sense of courage to face the fears of life. David went on to say in verse 4, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears." I just want to encourage you to allow the Lord to deliver you from your fears by seeking him and praising him for who he is. When we feel afraid, we can trust him to provide for whatever it is that we need. Trust the Lord to take you through whatever dark valley you may be passing through at this time. One of my favorite verses and passages when it comes to funerals is Psalm 23, verse 4 says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you," David says, talking to God, "you are with me." Many people forget that as we walk through the dark valleys that life sometimes brings to us, that Jesus is walking through these valleys with us. And if we don't remember that, the result is we often find ourselves sinking into depression and isolation or needless frustration of some kind. Other people look for a detour around the dark valleys that the Lord wants us to pass through, not realizing that God will keep putting these situations in our paths until we learn to trust Him to take us through those dark valleys. Bill Gaither has written a lot of good songs. One that I like is one that's been around for a while. It's called Through It All. I'm just going to share with you the lyrics. They tell us, I thank God for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for all He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, if I never had to worry, I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I like that. So rejoice that the Lord is with you. David praised God, and then he experienced release from his fears. So don't wait until you feel afraid, but practice some preventative medicine by praising God in all situations so that you will not slip into that valley of fear where discouragement comes and we're paralyzed to do anything about it. Are you praising the Lord at all times? Second, to overcome our fears, admit to and expose your fears. See, one of the hard parts of overcoming our fears usually starts with the fact that we don't like to admit we have any. Those who try to deny feelings of fear keep themselves out of touch with the experience of having to depend upon the Lord for all things. If having fear causes us to become more dependent on God, that's good. It was God who told Isaiah in Isaiah 41 verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. So let's face our fears, and let's realize that sometimes, not always, but sometimes, our fears are the result of sin. Let me illustrate it in this way. I think one of the most beautiful scenes in the scripture, and I can't even imagine what this must have been like, but it's found in Genesis chapter 2. When God created Adam and then Eve, put them in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God was walking and talking with them. Can you imagine that? Now, we're going to experience that someday in our paradise, but God was actually talking and walking with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, a time of complete innocence. There was nothing hidden. There was nothing phony. But then we turn to chapter 3, and we read there about Adam and Eve eating of that forbidden fruit, and everything changes because of sin. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you Sam's paraphrase of the first several verses of Genesis chapter 3. It's in your outlines. I encourage you to read it. But here's what happens. God comes into the garden. He looks for Adam and Eve, and they're not where they usually are. So he calls out, Adam, where are you? And finally, I can imagine it this way. This weak little voice from behind a bush. I'm over here, God. What are you doing over there, Adam? I'm hiding, God. Well, why are you hiding, Adam? And Adam says, I'm hiding because I'm afraid and I'm naked. Well, who told you you were naked, Adam? Now, there's an application that we need to make from this story, and it's simply this. The more we try to cover up our sins, the more we try to hide from God. That's the way it is. The more we refuse to face our sins, the deeper we go. When we are feeling afraid, it's time to realize we need to confess our sins. Too many people are carrying burdens that God did not intend for us to carry. Do not deny your feelings of fear, but use that fear as a catalyst to put your faith and trust in our very faithful God. David wrote in Psalm 32, verse 3, he said, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. There's nothing that takes the joy out of life like unconfessed sin on our hearts and our conscience. Admit your sin, then expose your fears. And here's what I mean by that. Exposing your fears is simply recognizing what is causing them. A preacher by the name of Dennis Slaughter preaches in Dallas, Texas. And he tells this story, and I'm just going to share what he told about being alone at home for a few days. He said, my wife went to St. Louis to babysit with three of our granddaughters, and I had to batch it while she was gone. So for about 3 or 4 days, I was totally on my own. I had to find my own meals, make my own bed, clean up my own messes. I really wasn't all that excited about it, but then I'm a person who likes having some time alone, he said. So I thought this could be a very positive experience. I knew I would miss my wife, but I wasn't going to dread this time of being alone. And I handled it very well, except for one night. I got home about 10 o'clock, and after watching the evening news, he said he read a couple chapters in the Bible and then drifted off into a very deep sleep. About midnight, there was this loud noise that suddenly woke him up. He said, I'd never heard it before. I felt this surge of fear. I just laid in bed a while and I listened. And it came again and then again and then again. And I kept trying to figure out what it was, and all these thoughts were running through my mind. He said, I imagined little green men on a space saucer that landed in my backyard. I imagined burglars breaking in to get our valuables. But then I thought, boy, they're going to be disappointed. I imagined all kinds of things as I listened to the noise, but for the life of me, I couldn't figure out what it was. Well, he continues, my wife likes to hang things on the wall, inside the house, outside the house, any place she can find a nail to hang things on, she has something hanging. Slaughter then continues with his story. He said, on our back porch, my wife had hung up an antique tray. It was a windy night, and when the wind came at just the right direction, it would bang that tray against the wall of the house. Now, I'd never heard it before, but that's what the noise was. I had lost an hour and a half sleep trying to figure out what was making that noise, and the second it was exposed, the fear was gone. Here's the application. Knowing what causes our fear will help remove it. Now, here's another thought about admitting and exposing our fears. Many of us fear about sharing our faith with other people. Maybe it's because we don't have the confidence to do it, or my guess is because we're afraid of what other people might say or think if we share our faith with them. So let me just encourage you in this way. I know that's not easy to do. Pray for God to give you those opportunities, and then speak out about God's word, his will, his working in your life, instead of being afraid of what others might think of you. God wants to deliver you when you're sticking your neck out for him. The old adage is true. The turtle never makes any progress until he sticks out his neck. So it is for those who tend to feel they just want to be safe all the time. David wrote, Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Whether our fears are the result of something unknown, whether the result of sin, we need to admit them and expose them for what they really are. And that leads to the final way that I want to talk about today, about overcoming our fears. And we've already been talking about it a little bit. I just want to really focus in on this point. And that is, we need to let God help us, help you to deliver you from your fears, to eliminate your fears. Because he can do that for us. 1 John 4:18 is a great verse of scripture. Many of you are familiar with it. The first part of that verse says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. That verse tells us that fear and love cannot coexist. The closer that you get to love, the further you get from fear. And since the context of this passage has to do with judgment, John is writing to us and telling us we do not have to fear the judgment of God. The rest of that verse says, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. The closer that you get to fear, the further you get from love. They're like the North and the South Pole. The closer you get to one, the further you get from the other. So the more that you learn to love and the more perfectly that you love, the further you drift from fear. We did a small group book a few years ago called Jesus, the Powerful Servant. Tim Spivey is the author, and he writes this, and I think this is great. He said, and I quote, "Real Christians aren't Christians because they're afraid of the fires of hell. Christians are Christians because they believe in and have fallen in love with Jesus." I believe that. It was John who recorded for us these words of Jesus in chapter 8, beginning verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What is the truth? Well, Jesus said, "I'm the way and the truth." And he tells us in his teachings that as you get to know me, as you learn to think the way I want you to think, as you begin to live life the way I want you to live it, as you learn the truth, I'm going to set you free from fear, from sin, from the uncertainties of life. That's our promise that our Savior gives to us. Perfect love casts out fear. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said in Matthew 22, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." So what happens? If I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, it means I don't have to be afraid anymore about what someone or something can do to me physically. I no longer need to be afraid of mental anxieties. I no longer need to be afraid of emotional insecurities, because perfect love casts out fear. The only secure relationship we have in this life is the one that we have in Jesus. That's because people will disappoint us no matter how close we are to them, but Jesus will never disappoint us. One final point I want to make about letting God help us overcome our fears is this. We need to expect the power and blessing of God that comes through prayer. Expect it. David wrote in Psalm 4, verse 1, "Answer me when I call, God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Max Lucado illustrates this, I think, in a great way in his book, In the Eye of the Storm. He talks about a time when he was traveling from one speaking engagement to another. He'd gone from San Antonio to Boston. He'd spoken in Boston. Then he was going to fly to Edmonton, Canada. But he had a stop in between that at Minneapolis. And he had to change airplanes. As he was walking through the airport, he said, "I couldn't help thinking about how tired I was, how hungry I was, how crowded the airplane had been, how my back was aching, my mind was hurting." Try as he might, he couldn't even remember who was supposed to meet him on his destination when he got to Canada. As he was heading to the gate to catch his next plane, he said he saw McDonald's. He thought, "I'll just run over there and get a hamburger. At least that'll satisfy my hunger pains." But then he said, "I decided to do something even better. I passed by a telephone and decided to call home. My wife answered the phone." He said, "Let me tell you, I'm convinced that when my wife gets to heaven, she's going to be at the reception desk welcoming everyone because she answers the phone in a way that makes you feel good." He said, "I just talked with her. We settled earth-shaking issues. We talked about the weather in San Antonio versus the weather in New England. We talked about what the girls did when they went to school that day and that one of them was going to have a friend over to spend the evening. Earth-shaking things like that. And after I finished talking with my wife, I really felt good. Then she passed the phone over to one of my daughters who told me about her day. And when she finished, she said, 'I love you, Dad.' Felt good to be loved," Max said. Then the phone was passed over to the next daughter. She talked to him for a while. She said, "I miss you, Dad." He said, "It felt good to be missed." Then they said they passed the phone over to the little six-month-old baby girl. "And I talked to my baby over the phone, and I cooed, and I talked baby talk, and I'm sure the people that passed me by were looking at me like I was crazy. But it felt good to be cooed at." Then we hung it up, and I made my way to the next gate. And then he said this, "I forgot how hungry I was. I forgot how tired I was because I had called home And that made all the difference in the world. And then he adds, maybe we all ought to call our home more often to talk to our heavenly daddy. And if you do that, you will find the listening ear of God ready to help you. And he will make you feel good from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And as you grow in your love, you'll find your fears beginning to disappear. I want you to think about this truth today. If we are aware and surrounded in God's perfect love, we cannot stay afraid. Fear will have no power over us. If we understand God's perfect love, we would know. The Bible teaches us that we are covered by this love that says, I have given my angels charge over you. That says, I have good plans for you to prosper you. That says, I've given you a love that guards you, guides you, provides for you, frees you from all your fears. If we know the love of God, we can say with the Apostle Paul, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Amen? Psalm 34:7 puts it this way. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues him. Sometimes I hear people say they're afraid about their salvation. They're not sure that if Jesus came today, if this were the judgment day, whether they would be lost or saved, and they feel insecure about that. I want you to know today, you don't have to feel a bit insecure about that at all. There is no need for that. Jesus died so that you and me could be saved. He went to the cross. He paid the price for our sins. We're not saved because we're good enough, because no one of us is good enough. We're saved because of the grace of God. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I don't want you to be afraid of God's judgment any longer. I want you to know his grace, to know his love, and you can know that today. Give your life to Jesus. He'll set you free, not only from your sins, he'll set you free from your fears as you walk with him.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.